What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Wordplay with Matt and Shane. I am Shane Brendan, along with my co-host, Matt Lockwood. Hey, and all that good shit. We had a chance to sit down with a very funny, very He knows a lot of shit. Jimmy Calloway. You guys know him. And by you guys, I mean almost six or seven of the other comics that are going to listen to this. Anyway, Jimmy, yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. Jimmy came over. We sat down and we talked about a bunch of shit. Jimmy knows a lot about punk. I mean, that's going to be obvious when you listen to it. But he's also going to surprise you with some other dope shit. I believe he whipped out a NWA membership card. So that was pretty cool and unexpected. So anyway, we're going to get into it. If you are a fan of just really good old school hip hop, underground hip hop and rap, and a lot of punk, I don't want to say obscure, but you know, he knows a lot about some bands that are now defunct that I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about, but still very interesting. And Jimmy's a good dude, good friend, good low handshaker, that Jimmy Calloway. Anyway, I'm not gonna waste any more of your time. Let's fucking get into this shit. Wordplay with Matt and Shane, Jimmy Calloway. Peace.
First time in Pacific Beach?
Jimmy? No, far from it, in fact. Yeah. Actually, when my family very first moved here in 1989, we lived in PB for like a month or two.
Well, where'd you guys come from before then?
The suburbs of Los Angeles, California, a little place called Walnut.
So never heard of it.
Did you have to switch colleges when you came in 1980?
When I came down here in 1980. It was kind of a drag, but I got transferred from Cal Poly down to San Diego State College. It wasn't yet a university.
And so, in 89, you were like a fifth-year senior, so you're almost done.
I was a double major, so I had to tack on a couple extra years. So, yeah, but I think it was well worth it. I think my degree in African economics and basket weaving speaks for itself.
Oh, you and Shane get along then.
Yeah.
That's why we're...
Was that a black joke?
I tried to make it.
It was an educational joke. Don't rip on SDSU. All right.
Why would I do that?
Are you talking to this guy? Okay. Fucking.
If you watch his eyes, you can tell he's talking to
you. Don't riff on this.
I'm too busy watching
the end of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I've been watching this the whole time. Do I need to turn this off?
No,
it's fine.
Turn it louder, maybe?
Turn it off.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, turn it off.
Good soundtrack.
It is kind of.
Do you dig it?
Yeah. Shane, do you even know how to do a podcast?
I like this movie a lot, but I found it hard to root for a guy wearing a Smashing Pumpkins t-shirt the whole time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He didn't have one the whole time.
Well, pretty much the whole time.
I'm guessing you're not a fan of the Pumpkins.
I'm not a fan. I'm just not.
No, he's a fan of the Pumpkins. That's why he doesn't like the Smashing Pumpkins.
Right. I don't want to see them smashed or otherwise abused.
Question for you guys. Smashing Pumpkins. A better band or Halloween activity?
I'll tell you what, it's not a better joke.
I tweeted that one recently.
How many faves did you get?
Zero.
What?
Two replies.
Two replies?
Oh. Yeah.
No retweets?
One reply said Halloween activity, and one reply said, I'm sick of reruns. When am I going to see some funny tweets? Which was from my brother-in-law that I live with. Because I think I made that quote-unquote joke once before. I even tweeted it.
He was sick of talking to you, so he used to Twitter. You could have said it to
his face. Yeah, you could have replied to your face.
Could have.
But there you have it.
Oh my god. Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There is that. I remember when they first hit it pretty big.
70s?
In the 70s when I was in high school. And they were everywhere, and I just kind of got sick of them pretty quickly. And at that time, I was into a lot more harder core type stuff, so the more introspective, melodic music, like Minor Threat and Dead Kennedys and the non-smashed Pumpkins. And
what time frame are we talking right now?
This would be like 93, 94 in there.
Which would actually be...
1993, high school? 1994. Yeah, I was a junior in high school. My junior year started in 93.
Okay.
So,
and what was in your tape deck?
Around that time, that was right when I was discovering punk rock, and I was far from the only one, because that was when Green Day got really big and Rancid got really big. So, young white suburbanites like myself, the country over.
Or the token black kids who lived in those white suburbanites.
I couldn't say from experience because we had very, very few of those in Alpine and El Cajon, California. Pop up every believe now it or don't.
It's because we all lived in Point Loma.
Yeah, I'm sure we had. In fact, I know we had a couple of token blacks in the punk rock scene.
Easy with that.
That
what were their names?
Your words. I wish I could remember.
Jamal.
That's what I was going to say.
No, there was one girl who I saw not. I guess it was like 5 or 6 years ago. I hadn't seen her for a while.
Lakeisha?
I can't remember her name.
He didn't remember the names. He just snapped his fingers at them. That was how they got their attention.
Hey, Blackie. This is an El Cajon, right?
For the term darkie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's big.
I went to high school at Granite Hills, which is in El Cajon, but I lived in Alpine. This is before they had a high school in Alpine. I think they have one out there now.
That's a drive.
It was a haul. Yeah. It took me, like, when I would go to the comic book store on weekends, it would take me a good hour and a half to get to El Cajon.
Okay.
Which is a drive is only like 15 minutes, okay. But, you know.
Well, let's not talk so.
Right.
So regionally, because I don't want to lose the audience
right
in other parts of the country, you right know, on the other side of the globe. Because me and you, we know.
I will say they should pull up Google Earth and maybe
most of our listeners don't have the internet, but they still manage to listen and download to Wordplay with Matt and Shane.
Thank God for Clear Channel. That's all I can say.
What was that? I have lived here for a year and still don't know where the fuck Alpine is.
Yeah, well, you're not or what it is.
Have you seen The Hills Have Eyes?
I've heard of El Cajun. The Hills Have Eyes?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah, good movie, right?
Yep. No.
I saw it at a movie theater in El Cajon.
Oh, that's an appropriate place. You're talking the remake?
Yeah.
That's supposed to help me know where El Cajon is?
No.
The fact that you saw a movie there?
You brought it up.
It's in the East County, which is the more rural part East of
County. I've heard
San
lots
Diego
of jokes
County
about East
yeah
County.
How do you feel about that? About people talking about East County.
You know, I used to have a real streak of pride living in El Cajon. Because once I moved out of my parents' house, I lived in El Cajon for most of the time. And I liked the white trash aspect of it. Like, I had this bullshit blue-collar Brian Setzer vibe going for me when I was in my early 20s.
Oh.
And believe it or don't. And I still really like it out there. I mean, I live in Spring Valley, which is almost... It's actually a little closer to the South Bay. It's right in that crook.
Yeah.
But no, I don't mind if people rag on it. I mean, it feels a little hack at times, I guess, but you know, who am I to really?
It's easy.
It is. It's a easy bit
to
easy
rag on East
it's
County
a bit easy. But yeah, having been like being from there, I mean, I can attest to the accuracy of most of those jokes anyway. Although where I lived was kind of a tonier part of like Alpine's kind of upper middle class where I lived anyway.
Alpine.
I mean, it's, you know, cause it's far away from the urbanites, which is what we called Negroes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right?
I've been watching Scott.
Okay, all right, yeah. It's almost over.
That was actually my first exposure to that actually kind of blatant racism, because I was, at the time, when I moved to Alpine, I was...
In East County.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I know.
No. Well, there's no way.
Strap on your seatbelts. When I got to Alpine in the 8th grade... I had never heard of Metallica or any of that stuff.
Well, you're
lucky.
Where are we at?
This would have been 1990. I moved to Alpine.
Okay.
The year of Matt Lockwood.
Right.
Oh my God, really?
Yep.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
A lot of people forget that that was when I moved to Alpine, because they're like, that was when Matt Lockwood was born.
It's like,
so it
kind of
gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. But,
you know, I'm used to it at this point. So... Yeah, my 8th grade class had 41 kids in it, and yeah.
That's how big my family
and they
is.
Were all super white. We did have I had two black classmates who were both half black, so I think
you
together
had
we had one
class.
Black classmate.
Was he cool?
And, yeah.
Were they cool?
They were a pretty cool guy.
Were they
guy.
Related?
No,
they did
were
they
not
sell
related.
Drugs?
Probably not.
Football team.
Actually, I think... Dwayne, if
of course, of course, he's a fucking Dwayne.
Of course he was.
Dwayne,
I can't remember his last name. I probably should say it anyway. I almost want to say Johnson, but
Dwayne
that can't Wayne. Be right.
Dwayne Wayne
was what I
Dwayne
called
Wayne.
Him a lot of the time. Anyways, so all these white trash kids, and all I ever at that point, all I was listening to was Public Enemy, and
no shit.
Yeah, I was
Why?
Huge into that.
Let's go back.
Okay,
where was Public Enemy introduced? How did you stumble upon
The way I recall it was the summer before eighth grade. My parents worked during the day, and my sister would often go to my mom's work with her. So I had the house to myself all day. So I'd watch MTV all day because I was 12, going on 13.
Yeah, fucking MTV, man.
And but I found myself more and more looking forward to Yo MTV Raps as the day went on. Like, that became my favorite show. Yeah. And then I think Brother's Gonna Work It Out was the first video I saw off of the then brand new Fear of a Black Planet record.
Just so you know, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about right now.
I've heard of MTV.
I've been watching Scott
Pilgrim. When they did
my
music.
My first joke I tried bombed, and I've just decided to watch Scott Pilgrim.
This is back when MTV played music.
Mm. And most of it was shit, too.
But it was still music.
Because that's the thing, when people say that now, it's like, oh, remember MTV used to play music, but I mean, if they brought
music back, it'd still be shit. Right.
I remember TRL.
Yeah.
And they should fucking used to play like 20 seconds of a video. That's it.
This is when you got
I know that.
So Yo MTV Raps.
MTV's always been shit.
What was the first public enemy?
Except Real World.
That was the first one I saw, was Brother's Gonna Work It Out.
Oh, wow.
Was the first single off of Fear of a Black Planet.
Did your head explode?
Completely. Yeah. I never seen anything like
it. I mean, what? Like, because I know how it was for me when I first heard Public Enemy, because my dad was he DJed at a skating rink. He was in the Navy, but like on the weekends, not for pay or anything. He would he was a music head. He had vinyl and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I heard him playing Public Enemy, and I don't remember the name of the song, but I just remember Flavor Flav, the lyrics where he spelt out nigga.
Yeah, that's off of Apocalypse 91.
Yeah.
I don't want to be called Yo Nigga.
Yeah, and he was just like, no. I came downstairs.
Are you allowed to say that here?
Well, Shane and I are allowed to because we're black.
Oh. And he's from East County, so he's blacker than I am. But it was just like, I'm going to do my Flav impression. Yo!
All right. Yeah, now get into your space.
N-I-G-G-E-R. Nigga, 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 nigga. And then I had questions.
Uh-huh.
And they went unanswered.
Uh-huh.
And I was about 8 or 9. So I'm hoping that you can answer those questions now that I'm 30
years
old. I
would be more than happy to, yes.
What was it about Public Enemy? Like,
well, I know, dude. I think for me there was, because I was, you know, just about to hit puberty, or rather be hit by puberty.
Mm.
So I had all these raging hormones, yet I still had a sense of humor somehow. So I think like that perfect mix of Chuck D and Flavor Flav.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
As being like angry yet entertaining. That was. I mean, at the time, I wouldn't have been able to articulate it that way, I don't think. But looking back, I think that was the main appeal, and that was to me the main appeal of hip hop in general at that time and at that age and in that place where I couldn't have been further removed from hip-hop.
Do you think you're so enamored by it because it wasn't in your day-to-day?
Like, absolutely, I mean, I was surrounded by white people. Not even just necessarily white trash, but just white people as far as the eye could see.
What was, like, the majority listening to? Like, your family and friends and stuff? Like, what was...
My friends were big into the hard rock and metal stuff, like... Aerosmith and Motley Crue. I still hadn't heard of the even harder stuff until I moved to Alpine, and then there were kids who were into Slayer and Metallica and stuff.
But
like
you were
that.
Into that equally, though, right?
Not really, no. At the time, no. I mean, I later developed more of a taste for it, certainly, but at the time, no, never really had a metal phase as a young man.
Why not? What was it about it?
I don't know. I think it just was... I thought, well, a lot of those kids in my neighborhood, like the older teenager, like high school kids who were into it, scared the shit out of me. And so, like, I just didn't want anything to do with those guys. I mean, I was a real, believe it or don't, I was a real nerdy, bookish.
No. No. There's no way.
Wallflowery type. And so rap and hip-hop kind of represented this whole new world to me, like this where you could reinvent yourself, sort of. And it was the same sort of thing that punk became for me later on, too.
So you discovered rap before punk.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was... And at the time, that was kind of odd. A lot of my friends... Because a lot of my punk friends later on...
Rap is punk, though. I mean,
it totally is. And it wasn't completely nuts. I mean, my good friend Chris, he was kind of the same way. he had a big, he was a big metalhead too. But I mean, even at that time, there was a big rap metal crossover, like Public Enemy and Anthrax.
Yeah, a lot
of stuff like that.
I love that shit.
Yeah, it was super good, and it still is. I saw Anthrax open for the Misfits. They played "Bring the Noise," and that was the only song that by them that I knew really well.
And you were ready to go after that. You're like, all right, yeah. I got my money's worth. And...
yeah, more or less. I wish I had, because I think I remember the Misfits really sucked that night. That was the second time I went to see them after they had reformed. The first time when they reformed their new singer, it was actually an incredible show.
So
second time, not so much.
What's some other, still in that same time period?
Mm-hmm.
We already got Public Enemy.
Yeah.
What are some other guys that were
drilling? Oh, NWA was another huge one, as I've shown off my...
Do you have your wallet on you?
I do have my wallet.
Do you show Shane this shit?
Let me see this.
What's... oh, have I not shown you this?
No.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
For the listeners at home, wait, just listen to Shane's reaction first.
Are you fucking serious? Is this real, or did you fucking make this?
You know, I should be a little insulted that you would accuse me of something like that, but I can also understand.
NWA Fan Club official membership card. You're number 415?
That's me.
How old is this?
It's from 1991. I sent it. I think the ad was in the cassette copy of 100 Miles and Running.
And they sent you
a
membership.
$8. I got a membership card, an autographed glossy button, which I lost. And I want to say one other thing. And then I was supposed to get, like, newsletters, but I think the only thing I ever got, and this is awful, I looked this up the other day, and now I can't remember. There was a guy that Dr. Dre was producing, and his whole shtick was that he played the flute. And he was some white Kenny G-looking dude. And it was fucking embarrassing. And I was, like, 14, and I was super loyal to anything those guys did. But even that, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Wait, they sent you, like, a...
it was like a postcard, like, hey, man, check this out. It's the shit. And I was like, no.
Kenny OG type shit?
It's exactly what it was. And I Googled, I looked it up on Wikipedia the other day, and now I can't remember it. But, yeah, look into it. It's really embarrassing. It's more embarrassing than the world-class Wrecking Crew days of Dr. Dre, I think.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah. All right, well, I think history will tell the tale.
Quickly, speaking of Dr. Dre,
yeah,
are we excited for Detox?
What is that again?
It's his album that's coming out soon.
Not really, no.
What? What?
Are you bringing that? Or Burner, do you have something to say about that?
He was
pissed. No, by the way, Jeffrey is still here.
And I'm now paying attention.
Our co-host, Jeffrey Burner, is in the studio. I can say that because this is my studio. In the studio with us today.
Literally.
Interviewing Jimmy Calloway. And
so, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jeffrey.
So, What,
my dear friend,
where did you come from?
Where did I come from?
We've already touched on that.
Okay. What was the first?
We've touched.
Where did you
that.
Listen to music when you were younger?
We touched on that. We're talking about Dr. Dre right now.
Dr. Dre. Did you ever listen to N.W.A.?
He has a membership card. He's member number 415.
415. All right.
Fucking awesome would it have been if he was number 420?
Oh, that would have been
you missed
awesome.
Out.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea. I was a kid. I was lucky I knew how to write them a letter. Dear Mr. NWAs, please let me in your club.
Dear niggers with attitudes. Unfortunately, I am not a nigger with attitude. Yeah.
But I bought your baseball cap anyway.
You dropped the R? Or you'd use the R?
In PB, you use a hard R.
Yeah.
In East County, it's they.
Right.
Point Loma Nazarene. Nazarene? Nazarene? What do they use?
It's pronounced Point Loma San Diego State.
University of Jesus. What would they say if they heard you blasting some NWA out of your dorm room?
I have.
There's no one.
And then what did they say?
No one said
do
anything.
Do nuns not rush into there and just, like, snatch you up? Like the
yeah,
Jesus...
Whoopi Goldberg rushes in. That's just a nun.
It takes you to Vegas.
Joyful, like... Lord, we adore you. With my life I've had not before thee since I was a year.
Fuck like yes. Lauryn Hill is just
Since Rec
2
is my favorite
two.
Movie.
You know, the whole, if I would have let you gone on, you would have sung.
Absolutely. Just the rap parts, though. And actually the song.
Yeah. Crackers. Just anybody who doesn't know, I know because we're so many episodes deep in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually a man of color, some would say.
I would say.
Some would say. Not black people.
Fuck you.
Oh.
It's so true, though. Now we're completely off.
Shane is slightly more tan than me.
The black guy having to tell people that
he's
black. To
be fair, most people are at least slightly
if
more
we
tan
were,
than you.
If we were... Fuck you. If we were to tell you that between me and Shane, one lives downtown on 17th Street, and one lives in PB...
And one of, say, one of us is wearing a tracksuit hoodie, and one of us is wearing an Incubus t-shirt.
With glasses.
With thick frame glasses.
And a watch.
Watch has nothing to do with race. What the fuck?
Don't forget the flip-flops, though.
Yeah, well, these are just nice.
I got Nike flights on, and you're wearing flip-flops.
You gave it away already, so...
Sorry.
God damn it.
Who's who?
Let's get back on track.
Okay.
So, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Where did you move here from?
God...
Oh, you're making Shane angry. Look, he's
I'm not
storming
angry.
Out.
No.
Are you happy?
We need an ashtray.
Just need this.
Oh, can we smoke in here?
Fuck yeah, you can smoke. You're my guest.
This is my favorite podcast already.
That's right, San Diego. All you other comedians, listen
you
up.
Heard me, Bernard.
Who else will let you sit down and smoke during the podcast?
In their studio.
Only Matt Lockwood and Shane Brendan in our studio. Mostly mine. That's right.
My
what
studio's
is
a patio table.
Maybe I should have asked this. What is the name of this podcast?
The name of this podcast is called Wordplay.
Oh.
With?
I like it.
With Matt and Shane.
That's us.
Because I figure, you know, we're comedians, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
And we have a way with words.
Sure do.
Or no wordplay thus far.
Or lack thereof.
Podcast.
But also...
Is it because Punsters was taken?
First of all, yes. Second of all, no, man. I mean, I just think that, like, musicians, entertainers, performers,
yeah.
strippers, it's all the same thing. Us as comics,
sure.
We sit there, we write our jokes down, we fucking stress over them, and we critique the shit out of them, we analyze them. And we second guess ourselves. We perform them, and then we decide whether or not we want to flourish them or just trash it. And I think you know, musicians do the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, artists do the same thing.
They play.
You're in a band.
I am in a band.
Jimmy's
yes,
in a band. What's
tell us about it?
Let's talk about that. Let's
I'm in a band that. Called the Stalins of Sound,
which is a reference
to the Stalins of Sound.
Joseph.
Yes.
Okay. Goebbels.
Goebbels.
Joseph
exactly.
Goebbels.
And I play the keyboards for that band. I've been with
multiple
the outfit.
Keyboards?
Yeah, more than one.
Multiple. Oh, so you're one of those guys that has like the stacks.
No, it's
guys, keyboards is already plural, don't you?
Well, actually, yeah, there is more
keyboards.
Than one keyboard. I tend to play only one at a time.
Right.
You have multiple
outfits? And I've been with the outfit for about 3 years almost.
How would you describe you guys' as sound?
We play the synth punk.
Synth punk?
That the kids like some
Sith
punk. Yes,
you said
the
Sith
Dark
punk.
Lord
Sith
of the Sith punk.
Hmm.
And
only the Sith deal in absolutes.
That is absolutely correct, Matt Lockwood. And
wordplay.
So it's basically wordplay. It's basically a punk band, but we have drum machines instead of a drummer. And but everything else is pretty much I would say straight ahead punk rock.
How many guys comprise?
There are three of us. It's me on keys, which is an industry term for keyboard.
Okay.
Alicia Keys.
Our friend Dave.
Called Alicia Keys.
Davey Death Metal plays the Alicia Keys. He plays the bass guitar. And then Hattie Fever is our fearless leader. He plays
What's
guitar.
Your stage name?
Jimmy Calloway.
Jimmy the Worm.
Jimmy the Worm.
That's been my punk rock nickname since I was a boy.
Is that where the Twitter handle comes
That's
from?
Indeed where it comes from.
Follow
Matt.
Jimmy
you
on Twitter.
You are one smart
yeah.
cookie boy.
Follow Jimmy
we...
on Twitter at Jeffrey G. Burner.
I accidentally
J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
Yeah, I accidentally tweeted
G-B-E-R-N-E-R.
That's right. I watched Jeff do a set at Second Wind.
Yeah.
And I meant to like compliment you on your set, but I accidentally fat fingered and tagged Jimmy. And now he has like hundreds of thousands of followers because of that.
It was a happy accident. So yeah.
So you can follow Jimmy at J-E-F-F-R-E-Y-G-B-E-R-N-E-R.
Jimmy the Worm.
Yeah.
So you're how long have you been with those guys?
I've been playing with this band since early 2011. And they were active for I want to say about a year or so beforehand. Hattie and I have known each other for a very long time. We met at Grossmont Community College in 99, I want to say. Maybe 98? 99. And we tried getting a few bands off the ground for a couple years, and nothing ever got out of the practice space. And then in 04, I joined a band called the Dissimilars. And then our bass player and drummer both moved away after about a year, so we brought Hattie in to play bass, and our other friend Nate played drums. And then they stuck with us for the next 3 years until we broke up.
How long have you been playing piano?
I've been since early 2011.
You started with the band.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what I'm doing to this day. It's true.
So, do you contribute as far as songwriting? And
a little bit. The way Hattie and I have always worked together is Hattie's a very extremely accomplished musician. I mean, he's been able to play like every Slayer guitar track since he was in junior high. And so he writes all the songs. He writes all the lyrics. He pretty much just shows Dave and I what to do. For the first, I want to say at least 6 months, it was just him. Like, he would just have the drum machine.
And then he would, on stage.
Yeah, he would sing and play guitar along with the drum machines. And then he brought Dave in first because he wanted to fill it out some more. And then he'd asked me a few times to join up. And I was kind of burnt out on doing bands at the time, so I was kind of.
But what did you play before then? If you just started
before then, I was always. I did play bass very, very briefly when I was 21 in a band called the Main Street Meth Addicts, which didn't even last a year.
Like a Christian band,
yeah,
Christian punk.
We really worked hard to bring the gospel to the youth,
right?
But in a form that they could enjoy,
exactly. Yeah,
and so, but then
I did Christian metal.
And then, but mostly I've...
You do, actually. We talked about this.
I did not know that. Had I known that, I might not have shown up.
There's a lot of big metal bands that are subtly Christian.
Like?
Under San Diego's own P.O.D.
Devil Wears Prada, P.O.D. I wouldn't call them metal.
Call them rock. No.
I am embarrassed that they're from here, though.
They actually...
They're coming
funny story.
On our podcast.
Funny story.
You can tell them I said so.
They hang
and
out...
If they want to discuss it, they know where to find
me. Their big hangout spot that they go to all the time is directly across the street from my house.
Is it really?
My brother-in-law went over there to ask them for a wrench once.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, no problem. Oh, have you ever heard of POD?
They just this drop is that them. In?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they
and
suck.
And I got so excited. Fuck you.
They suck Fuck really you. Bad.
I'm when my mom you. Broke my Limp Bizkit CD.
How did she break your Limp Bizkit CD?
She grabbed it and...
In front of you.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't approve.
Well, Matt, I can
she
understand,
it was
like...
actual biscuits, and she put it in the oven.
Jeffrey Brenner.
I can understand that you probably... Because you were raised in a Christian household, if I'm not mistaken.
Currently.
So they... So POD would be a nice compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I fuck
fine.
With their music.
I used to see those guys play live in... Like the mid, early to mid 90s, and they were awful. And, yeah, that's fair enough.
You ever seen a music video for the song Boom?
No.
It's a ping pong.
Okay.
It's ping pong. It's All the right. greatest thing I've ever seen.
Okay. I don't think any less of you, Matt. I couldn't possibly think any less of you.
Well, I think it should be noted with Jimmy's musical career. Sounds like the band he's in now, the reason he's in it is because the guy hasn't figured out how to record the parts for himself.
That is exactly why. Yeah, no, that's exactly why.
He doesn't have that garage band.
So you do a lot of shows, right?
Yeah.
How often do you do shows?
We're slowing down a little bit, but I still think we're hitting at least one a month. Every year we kind of go, all right, let's just focus on recording or doing or touring, and then we end up playing, you know, one or two shows a month locally.
Venues?
We did take, what?
What was the last venue?
Our last show was at The Void on El Cajon Boulevard with our good friends The Blood Types from Portland, Oregon. And they're terrific.
Love Portland.
Yeah.
Love Portland. Shout out to Portland.
Is that a callback?
I love Portland.
No.
No, I actually...
Did you see his face? He just
I love,
got
no,
really
No, it's great.
Excited.
It's a hell of a town, yeah.
My girlfriend's from Portland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been sense. There.
A lot of my friends from here have moved up there over the last few years. Yeah, it's a great town. We played there in June. Also with the Blood Types.
Where'd you guys play?
As soon as you asked me the name of the venue. Slabtown. That was the name of the place.
Never been there.
It's a really nice venue. I played there with another band I was in called Slab City. And that would have been...
Slab City, bitch. Slab City.
Yeah, right. Slab City. That's...
Slab City, yeah.
Slab City. Rough City?
What?
It's a rough place? Rough part town?
Slab City is like a kind of a... It's a weird place. It's like an off-the-grid... It used to be a... an Air Force base way out in the desert, out past El Centro. And now, and then, like, they closed the base down and they tore all the buildings down, but they left all these concrete slabs where the buildings had been erected on, and now all these, like, hippie types just live there. Like, it's like a big squatter's colony. And so the band was named after that locale.
I think that's on Grand Theft Auto V.
It might be. I wouldn't be surprised.
I have video games.
I'd like to point out that Portland wasn't actually really mentioned all that much until Shane got excited about it. You just said you knew show, a band from Portland.
I like Portland.
He likes Portland, Jeffrey Berner.
Yeah, Jeffrey.
You know, if you like Portland so much, why don't you marry it?
Why don't you marry it, Shane?
It's legal there now, so...
To marry a city?
I can do whatever I want. Okay.
That's a key you're not getting.
I'm a grown man. I have a studio apartment, Jeffrey.
She does.
I have a guitar on the wall. All right? See that?
Yeah. Did you see that sound come out of that guitar?
You're sitting in a chair I stole from work. All right?
Oh, we might have to edit that out.
Yeah, we have to edit that out.
I don't care. It's a government chair. I'm taking back from the man.
You know what? And good for you.
That's what I do, man. Oh, I was the man for a couple of years, and then...
But now you're not. Now
I'm not,
yeah.
And I took
taking them all back.
You know, it's called an apartment, not a togetherment.
Wordplay with Jeffrey Berner.
Oh, you have band practice tonight, don't you?
No, actually, it's not till Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday?
Yeah.
Keys. Keyboards.
Yeah.
Pianos.
Well.
Chords?
No.
Scales.
All right.
Which do you prefer, the white keys or the black keys?
You know, I kind of like a mix of both.
Good answer.
I'm a man who enjoys... A mix of both, yeah. A
mix of both a black and a white.
What about the mulatto keys?
They're a little uppity for me, but...
what do you
mulatto
play
keys have some nice mulatto
It's a
D's.
Roland keyboard. I think that's the extent of my knowledge of my equipment.
Does it have
Did you name it?
Yeah, I named it Roland after the pig from the children's book.
Babe?
Spelled the same
Babe.
Way.
That's not...
He said Roland. He named it Roland after the pig in the children's book, and then you said Babe.
Which is actually a film.
No, he's just talking to me real quick.
Oh, okay. Babe.
Babe.
Give me a...
He needed more water.
Give me a water. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, basically Hattie just tells me what to do. Shows me how to play
the parts. No, but that's the interesting thing. How is it that you said you... When did you really start playing the keys? Like, playing...
When I joined this band.
Like, what I had came never... first? Did you... The keyboard... Or you, like, showing interest in learning how to actually play it?
Well, like I was saying, Hattie was kind of after me to join up. Because I remember when I would see him play, when it was just him, he would start the drum machine, and then he would start playing guitar and singing, and then when the song was done, he would either have to turn around, stop the drum machine, and then start it up again for the next song, or just let it keep going. And so I was like, you know, you should probably just get somebody to run the drum machine for you. So that they can start and stop, and you can do your little banter in between songs or what have
so
you.
So is that what you do? You play keys and then...
That is part of my
like
job.
Like an auxiliary guy.
When we
like
play live, is to run the drum machines, which are all pre-programmed, and Hattie does that all himself as well.
Sounds like this Hattie guy is just hogging all the responsibilities.
Well, that's actually kind of how I prefer it. Like, when we were in the Dissimilars, I ran that show, more or less, especially for, like, the last year, which... had more than a little to do with why we ended up breaking up. Like, it was just too much stress on me, and it wasn't as much fun. So after that band split up after being together for 4 years. And then when I joined Slab City, I told, because they had already been going, and then their singer quit or was fired, depending on who you ask. They asked me to join, and I was a huge fan, so I said, of course. But I said, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to book shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I just want to show up and collect my paycheck and go home. I mean, I'll write... Like, with Slab City, I wrote a few lyrics for songs with them, because I was the front man, as I have been for pretty much every band I've been in.
Is that still...
That is not the case in this. No. This is... Stalin's of Sound was the first, like, active band, not counting the band I played bass for briefly, where I'm not the front guy, which is fine, again, like, you know. I mean, I do... Like, the Dissimilars, we did have a reunion show this past July, and that was a lot of fun. And I'd forgotten.
People turn out for that?
Yeah, actually, I was kind of surprised. I mean, it had been 5 years since we'd played. I didn't think anybody really...
Right.
I mean, if that many people had shown up at more of our shows, we might have gone on longer. But that's an old song. Like, I've heard a lot of bands say stuff like that. But yeah, it was a really good turnout, and it was a great show. Probably I think we'd all like to do it again, but I doubt it because it was kind of hard. Like, you know, half those guys have wives and kids now.
That sucks, man.
Yeah.
Can people just do that?
It's really rude. Go, it's like, really just inconsiderate of everyone else.
Like, life-lasting relationships.
Yeah,
and
I don't get it.
Procreates.
Yeah, and they have a kid, and scheduling is really hard to do.
And they take pictures and put their kids on fucking walls.
It's just, and they don't come to shows.
It's like, it's 2013. I mean, yeah. What are we doing?
Who has kids anymore?
Who has kids?
Who has the time?
I certainly don't.
Right.
I do.
Do you? This just in. Matt Lockwood has his son in the studio with us tonight.
I tell you, he's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Thank you. My son's pretty cute, too.
He is. How are you proud that your son is furthering his education at Point Loma Nazareth?
Absolutely. I said, the only way I'm paying for this shit is if you go there.
Right. Because I believe in God.
I'm going there to learn how to pronounce Nazarene, mostly.
Is it Nazarene? Like tangerine?
Yeah. No, not tangerine. Nazarene.
Nazarene.
Jesus,
Point Loma.
No,
Point
just
Loma,
Shane. It's Shane Brendan. Not Jesus Shane.
Richard.
I don't believe in that. Or your school.
Yeah. You don't believe in his school?
I don't believe in his school.
It's a school.
Can't we see it from here?
I can see it from where I work.
Oh.
And I hear their joyful praises all day.
Give me a hymn number, I'll sing it now.
36.
666.
I never went to a church without hymn books. We always went to the cool progressive churches.
No, right.
Like, what's a cool progressive church?
Don't try to talk to me right now because you have no idea.
I don't. That's what I'm asking.
No, it's all the churches I went to.
Jesus.
What's a cool progressive
church? All the churches I went to, like, none of them are like, oh, you sit in pews and someone talks at you. And
was it like a beer guy?
It's like, hey
around?
Guys, let's rap about the Lord.
Yeah,
no, it was kind of.
Let's
like,
get crunk for Christ.
The first church that I like grew up in was like very like production based.
It was like,
did
a lot
of like
a show.
Shit. Yeah, it was.
Did Jesus
this
Christ,
dude was?
Did you do Superstar?
Jesus Christ Superstar. Tell me.
No, they wrote their own and did those.
Oh, even better.
Like, it was a pretty small church though.
Look out, sir.
But we left that church because fuck that church.
Was it a cult?
We went. There's a very well esteemed.
Yeah, was it still? Was it still Christian? Cool. All right, go on.
I'm feeling attacked.
Oh, little bear.
All right. So after the
yeah. Yes, Matthew.
Okay, so you're doing a lot of shows and stuff around town. Not
sure.
A lot. Once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
People can see you. You have a website you can plug real quick or anything?
Yeah. I think we have a Facebook. I think we have a website too that I don't know how often it's updated, but the Facebook is pretty.
STALIN.
Yes.
S of sound.
Of sound, yes.
If you don't know how to spell that,
jeffreyburner.com.
Right.
JeffreyBurner
JeffreyBurnerComedian @gmail.com.
Son of a bitch. It's Jimmy Calloway. It's what's this? I have your address somewhere. I was going to plug that for you.
Yeah, it's kind of an unwieldy address that I have.
Going back to just music you listen to rather than try to play.
Yeah.
What?
You said
what are you listening to? What are you listening to now? listen to on the way over here?
What was the drive?
On the way over here, I listened to. I have my MP3 player on shuffle. I heard the
not
Spits.
Not an iPod?
Not an iPod.
It's an MP3 player.
You're an anti-Apple.
So, no, I'm not. I just.
Oh, so you have a Mac?
This was.
Was it a Discman?
No. It was a Sony Walkman.
Was it a guy who just knew a lot of songs that
yeah.
would sing to you?
He was just singing them a cappella to me.
MP3 player?
Yeah.
Shit.
It was given to me as a gift a couple years ago. In 1940. I said, what's with this here wireless radio contraption?
Right after you'd moved here from Pangaea.
Right. After the Continental Divide, my family.
Your pet dinosaur died in the apocalypse.
Yeah, it was
your pet
was
dinosaur
that
while you were waiting
in line
at the
wanna,
post office.
I don't want to. Let's not. Because that's just too. All
right, so what'd you listen to on the way over here?
Jesus.
I listened to the Spits. I listened to. The Spits are a fucking tremendous band.
Punk?
Out of Seattle, yeah. They've been around since, I want to say, the mid 90s. They're still going very strong. I've had the pleasure of opening for them a few times in different bands. In fact, when Slab City toured the West Coast in 07, we stayed at Sean's house. Sean from the Spits in Seattle. Ernie played keyboards for Slab City, also played keyboards for the Spits briefly. And he's also, like, he shot a documentary with those guys. And, yeah, they were a huge... When the Dissimilars were starting, that was what we wanted to just do, the Spits. That was our main goal. And I think we did not pull it off at all, but we had a lot of fun doing it.
That's all that matters, right?
So I listened to them. I listened to... For, like, the last 5 or 6 years, I've been listening to a lot of 60s garage stuff, like a lot of from the Nuggets box sets and Pebbles and a lot of those compilations, to the point where I can't remember all the bands. They're all like one-hit wonder types.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I listen to a lot of that stuff. What else? The Misfits. I've always been a huge Misfits fan. I think that was about it. Public Enemy, of course.
Do you still listen to a bit of hip-hop, or is it mostly all...
It's mostly...
Punk.
It's mostly punk. I still listen to a lot of the hip-hop that I grew up with. I still buy everything Public Enemy does.
Or did.
Though I don't. I don't think I have their last... The last one I bought was New World Order, which I believe was like 08 or 09.
I have that tape somewhere in my closet.
And it's not bad, but I don't listen to it very often. There's a couple tracks on there that I really like. The Flavor Flav song is really good. I think that might be it.
Did you have any confidants, any people, any of your peers that would like share your love of like...
When I was a kid, you mean?
Yeah,
actually, that was when when I moved to Alpine, most of the kids were all super into Metallica and stuff like that. And then there were...
Around that time, what album was out for Metallica? It was,
you said, that would have been...
Do they have different albums, or didn't they just...
Like, it was all Metallica.
It would have been right before the Black Album came out. Black Album came out my freshman year of high school. So this would have been around... A lot of these guys were into Master of Puppets and stuff like that. I remember The Razor's Edge by AC/DC had just come out. That was a big deal.
Two of my least favorite bands.
No?
And,
what? Metallica and AC/DC.
What's wrong with you?
To each his own.
What's
wrong with you?
You're black.
Yes, this is true. Partially.
I'm a fat white kid. I'm supposed to like Metallica.
You're more of a fan of Woodica?
No. All right, keep going, Jimmy.
I remember, though, there was myself and Jose Meraz and Eric Menez were the only...
Eric, yeah.
We're the only
shout
kids
out to Jose and Eric
in my eighth grade Rattles class. Yeah,
they were listening to
The same stuff.
Did you put them on, or were they?
No, when I got to Joe McQueen Middle School, Jose was already there, and we were all
diehards based on.
We were all kind of basketball nerds too. We all played basketball.
You played basketball
very, very, very poorly.
Like with basketball 13. Shoes.
Yeah. I had some early Nike pumps.
Like the basketball.
Not so much.
No.
It was past that time.
The nut highs.
I'm guessing you were a point guard?
Yeah, if you can call it that. I know Spud Webb was my idol at that time. Because he was a short point guard.
Can you jump?
I have handles.
I haven't played basketball since.
Love handles!
I was a teenager, so I guarantee you I would be terrible at it now.
I got 8 courts here.
8?
I don't mean to brag. We have 8 courts.
That seems excessive.
You never know when you really want to get a whole basketball
camp. Yeah, I guess. You can never be too prepared.
You want to stop? Would you do this again if we took it to the courts?
I don't think so.
Shots of hoops.
My limit for public humiliation is pretty high.
No one
as it
watches
turns
the
out.
Guys.
Basketball is my favorite sport.
You got game. You got game.
That's happening.
There's a lot of basketball themed
rap songs, yes.
Rap songs.
So, it's almost as if basketball were popular in the urban community.
Yeah, almost.
No, that's the court where the real justice happens.
Oh my god.
So when I got to Alpine, Jose and I met and hit it off because we had a mutual interest in basketball and hip hop and pornography. And so we became fast friends. And
it goes without saying.
And then Eric moved to our school like later in the eighth grade year, but he was from Connecticut. He was from the East Coast, so we were really impressed with that. And he was really tall, so we were like, dude, you have to play basketball with us. And he was also really into rap and hip-hop.
Did he introduce you to any East Coast hip-hop?
Not really, but it was just nice to have a guy that I could talk to about stuff. That,
yeah,
a guy from the outside. A guy that read Source Magazine as well. And so, yeah, that was really nice. And then, you know, as it happens, like, into high school, we kind of lost touch. But, I mean, those guys are all – I haven't seen either of them since high school, I don't think. Though I did run into Jose, I think, when I was, like, 19 or 20. And even though, like, he'd become a full-on cholo at this point –
They all do.
Did he lean like a cholo?
He was. It was weird. Like when we were juniors in high school, he would hang out with the real kind of hardcore gangster types, and I was by that point a full on punk rocker. But we'd pass each other in the hall, and be like, "Hey man, what's up?" Like, and say hello, and our respective groups of friends would look at us and at each other like, "What the fuck is this all about?"
Oh, we were bridging the gaps. High school and my respective groups and friends. Oh, good times, high school.
Remember that?
You read that
20 minutes ago?
Here's a joke I thought of 2 minutes ago. You read Source Magazine?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about Source Magazine?
What's that, Jeffrey?
They never cite their sources.
They're not on the MLA system.
When they do, it's an APA format.
Yeah.
Chicago, motherfucker.
What? Please don't swear.
This is a clean podcast.
No, I have a question for you.
Yes, Matt.
You say Jose
mm-hmm.
hung out with the real gangster types.
Right.
You also said you had 2 half-black kids at your high school.
Well, that was it by junior high. By high school, there were at least one more. There was at least one more black guy.
So he hung out with all 3 black guys.
No, he hung out with the Mexican guys at my school tended to hang out in a group. As
and spray paint buildings.
No, I don't know that. I don't know what kind of shenanigans they were getting up to. To be honest with you, I'd kind of lost touch with them. But
the cholos and their shenanigans.
I'm sure they were very productive members of society.
Want to buy some crack?
I mean, it was still very suburban San Diego. It's not like there was a whole lot of trouble to get up to beyond normal teenage stuff, I guess. Although I did hear through the grapevine that Jose has seen the inside of a prison a couple times at this point. But
who hasn't?
Who hasn't, I mean? Really?
Who hasn't?
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know Marvin Gaye mentioned that in the song Heard It Through the Grapevine. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's one of the deeper cuts.
Not much longer would Jose be mine.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Some Motown.
Yeah, how about it?
welcome. What would you say can you give us like a top 5, maybe not an order, favorite bands of all time?
Yeah, I think I can do that. For the longest time, my absolute favorite band of all time was Devo.
Yes.
Mark Mothersbaugh.
Mark Mothersbaugh.
Berg. That's what I said, right?
It's Mother's Ba, but I'm not going to stand
it's
up.
It's Nazarene. G-H. Nazarene.
Nazarene.
Yes.
Ba. Well, I just only know him from the Rugrats. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He scores a lot of great children's television.
And he does House of Lies.
Rugrats, House of Lies, Pee Wee's Playhouse, all of Wes Anderson's films. He's a very active guy.
Ba. Mother's Ba.
I did see them live in 2008 at the Del Mar Racetrack, and I gotta say, I did not have a very good time at all.
Why not?
Well, the crowd was terrible. It was, and I was just, and I was kind of in a mood, I think, to begin with. But the thing about Devo where I really started to kind of lose interest was that their whole shtick was about about whipping people. And I felt like they had gone away from that message somewhat. I just couldn't relate anymore.
Well, when slavery ended, it didn't really relate to anybody.
It didn't take too well to it.
No, I mean, I'm probably overthinking things that I have a tendency to do. But it just, for lack of a better term, they just completely sold out by this point. And it was just kind of sad seeing these 4 guys my dad's age still wearing these dumb fucking Freedom of Choice hats. And it was kind of a drag. But they were still very, very big in my life, you know, as a young music fan. And then right behind them at that time was a punk outfit out of Chicago called the Vindictives, my favorite band of all time. When I was early discovering punk, I was really into the Dead Kennedys and bands like that. And Jello Biafra's vocal stylings, that really nasal, high-pitched caterwauling really was an appeal to me. And Joey Vindictive, the lead singer of the Vindictives, had a very similar voice. Sloppy Seconds are also another band like that. And the Vindictives, they not to sound completely lame, but their lyrics really spoke to me, man.
So, that doesn't sound lame at all.
What did they say to you?
Well, I think, like, okay, so I remember this very clearly, in fact. When I was a senior in high school, my best friend, Matt Swain, who had graduated the year previous, he came to pick me up after school one day. We were going to go hang out, and he had gotten a copy of The Many Moods of the Vindictives, which was a collection of all their singles that Lookout Records put out. And he was playing it when I got into the car, and it was a very, it was the song, the song was called Glad to Be, which is a very catchy, is a very catchy riff, and is just a really good, those guys were really good at their backups were very melodic for a hardcore punk band especially, and it just hit me, like, really, that kind of indescribable, visceral thing that music can do to you, and they just instantly became my favorite band, and their lyrics are very, like, they weren't very straightforward, you know, like, they were funny, but they weren't like the Ramones, just kind of simple and goofy. They were, there was some, I guess, poetry involved in it. And yeah, just the whole package just did it for me immediately. So they became my favorite band pretty much right there. Mm-hmm. And they remain so. I listen to them a lot still. They just put out a 7-inch, it's actually a flexi disc record this last year. They're not like very active, but they still put out stuff every now and again. Joey Vindictive, as I recall, was really, like, he had really bad narcolepsy and all kinds of health problems the later 90s, so they kind of stopped being as active. And they never really toured. I don't think they ever really played outside of Chicago, but they were pretty big in the punk scene anyway back then. They were connected to, like, Screeching Weasel and other pop punk giants of the time. So,
pop
punk. Yeah.
Pop punk giants.
Are you into any of the mainstream? I don't think, is there any punk, like, relevant
doesn't
punk
bands? Doesn't
seem
to be.
Like, right now?
Right now, no. I'd say there's definitely, like, the more
Fall
mainstream
Out Boy, you guys.
Oh, God.
Ultimate in punk.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about that because
it's, when you bring up, like, the Ramones and Dead Kennedys, yeah, like, people know that.
Right. Yeah, it's not nearly as under, I mean, it, you know.
But I feel like a lot of people know that now because they think it's, it makes them cooler to know that. They don't necessarily know the artists. Okay, they don't know the scene at all, but they get themselves savvy to a certain point enough.
Yeah.
To where they can have somewhat of a conversation with someone who really appreciated the music at the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of a, like, that sort of thing is kind of tricky for me because I got into punk after it had already been around for, you know, 15 mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. to almost 20. And I remember at the time, and it was huge. Like I said, Green Day had just really made it big, and the
how
whole,
do you feel about Green Day?
I was never a fan of Brett Favre.
Yeah, the Wranglers.
No, I was never a super fan of Green Day. A lot of that poppier stuff, like Green Day, and then the more sort of lesser known acts, like, I guess, Screeching Weasel, even though they're huge. I really like Screeching Weasel, but what?
Too poppy, Green Day.
A little bit for me, especially at that time. When I was 16, I wanted to punch guys, so I didn't want, like, songs about girls so much.
You weren't a fan of the Dookie album, then?
Not so much. I mean, it's good stuff. I can say
album.
That objectively now.
I agree.
But, and I know,
the Dookie
and I,
album.
many of my friends were super into Green Day, and, you know, I wanted to be part of the crowd a little bit, and ironically enough, but I just couldn't really ever get into them. But I remember thinking very clearly when I was 16, like, I look like a fucking poser. Like, I look like just some snot-nose who just discovered this stuff. But I was like, but that is the case. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't really do anything about that. Mm-hmm. And I knew in my heart of hearts that it wasn't a phase, that I was always going to like this stuff as much as I did then. And that's, yeah, that's true. So, I didn't really think about it too much. And I would get, like, you know, the older guard would kind of look down their nose at me at shows and stuff like that, and I was like, well, you'll see, you know, come talk to me in 2013 when I'm doing the Wordplay podcast.
They knew.
Or podcast.
They knew.
They knew.
Is your heart of heart young at heart?
Not so much.
Okay. What about your kidney of hearts?
Is it any genre? Let's step outside of punk.
Let's do.
And outside of hip-hop.
Okay.
What else?
What else is there, Shane?
What
Brendan?
Else matters to you? What else matters to Jimmy?
Well, like I was saying, a lot of the more 60s stuff, which I always liked. You know, when I was a kid, my parents grew up in the 60s, so there was always a lot of Beatles around the house.
Should have cleaned it more. It was so easy.
You're welcome. Yeah, and like in the 80s, when I was a wee boy, the 60s were back and better than ever. So there was a lot of that oldies. You know, I was very familiar with the Beach Boys and the Beatles and the Doors and all that kind of thing. And I always liked it, but as I've gotten older, I find I like the slightly more obscure stuff.
Like?
The Animals or the Who.
Have you ever heard of this band called the OCs?
Yes. With a question mark? That sounds very familiar.
Who aren't that obscure? You can't.
What did they do? What was their?
I don't even know how to describe
what their song was called.
Do you have your iPad? iPadimus?
It's funny that you bring up OC.
Not the OC, like Orange County. I texted him earlier today. I was like, yo, what are you doing? He's like, watching the OC and eating peanuts.
You're watching the OC?
He's just caught on.
Big Peter Gallagher fan, are you?
Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do, because this is why I do. In the 1994s?
In the 1994s.
Revival of the musical Guys and Dolls, which Jimmy knows I'm a huge fan
huge.
Of.
Huge.
I was in Guys and Dolls in high school.
Oh. Fuck yeah, me too! Wow. What were you? What were you? I was Nathan Detroit. What were you?
I was an extra.
Let's get some people together and fucking
you're both
do that
winners
shit.
In this contest.
No, but Peter Gallagher played Skye Masterson, who's the co-lead.
I know.
Okay.
Obviously, the audience.
Nathan
knows
Detroit was played by one of my favorite actors.
And that would be?
Nathan Lane.
Mm-hmm. Nathan? Nathan and Nathan.
That's why he chose the name Nathan, actually. Mm-hmm. Nathan Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
Interesting tidbit. But anyways, that's who, Peter Gallagher. That's how I knew him. And, of course, I love the OC. It's a great TV show.
Why?
It's like a fun little...
Oh, dear.
I also... All right. We're going to go on me for just a quick minute.
Yeah, let's do. Let's go on Matt.
So you got defensive about the OC.
If we're going to talk about pop culture...
was Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll stay on musical theater all day. I fuck with musical theater.
You really will, folks.
I listen to... in 2011, Les Mis.
I remember that year. 2 days ago.
The musical Les Mis, full name Les Miserables.
Right.
they
what
did a 25th anniversary concert, and I've listened to that soundtrack probably 150 times in the past 5 years.
The only came boys out 2 years ago. Better than the Ghetto Boys are the Jersey Boys,
which is also a musical.
Yes, that was my...
Have you ever seen Popeye the Musical?
Oh, God. Yes.
That's a great... That's one of the few musicals that I
the movie's
really
good,
like.
Too.
It's a great movie.
I enjoyed the movie.
Well, I don't know if they ever did, like, a stage production of it. I just know it as the Robin Williams film.
I saw an off-Broadway production of Popeye when I was in college.
Oh, really?
And it might have been The Shrooms,
mm-hmm.
or it might have been The Actors, but either way, I had a great
Who
time.
Played Popeye in that? Do you remember?
Some dude.
Just some dude.
Some gorgeous dude.
It's off Broadway. It's not like you remember.
I don't know how it works. I've never even been to New York City, for Christ's sake.
Well, if it's off Broadway,
it's
not in New York.
It's east of East County.
Oh.
Way east.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, musical theater is the greatest thing that ever happened to this world.
Sure, sure. I like West Side Story. Big fan of that.
All right. Cats?
Not so much. West Side Story and Popeye are pretty much the only musicals that I... enjoy.
Would you guys like to sit down and watch my production of Guys and Dolls?
I cannot think of anything I would rather do less than that. Only because I value our friendship.
Okay.
So highly.
It is my proudest moment today.
Okay. Well.
And I've opened for guys like Kevin Farley. So that's a pretty big statement.
Oh, God. I think I saw you at that
show. I was there.
I saw you at this show.
Yeah, Shane, you introduced me and flipped me off while I was on stage.
Shane Brendan.
Got you a laugh.
I didn't see you do it.
That was a good laugh. It was a good bit.
I heard about it. I was trying to do a fucking sip. We don't talk comedy here.
Thank God for that.
Yes,
Matthew.
So, I don't remember where we were.
Well, I was running down.
Do you have
favorite bands? Do you still want me?
Oh,
to?
Oh yeah, we've named
Devo and the Vindictives.
Okay.
Public Enemy would definitely be in there.
Okay.
Very early influence on my life and on my musical taste.
When you say you've subscribed to everything Public Enemy's done, right?
Well, I've
did you watch both seasons of Flavor of Love?
I did not. That was one thing. Funny story about that, Matt.
What about the spin-off, I Love New York?
That has nothing to do with Public Enemy.
So I saw Public Enemy play live. I've only seen Public Enemy live one time, and that was in 2006. And they played the House of Blues here in San Diego, California.
H.O.B.?
And this was right around when that show was on.
Okay.
And I had caught an episode here and there, but I found it excruciating. Well, as I do most reality TV. The fact that it was Flavor Flav was a shame, I felt. But I'm like, hey, he's doing what he's doing. I don't really give a shit. So at the show, which was incredible, they were phenomenal. X-Clan opened for them, and they were incredible. I'd almost forgotten about X-Clan entirely, and they killed. It wasn't even original members, but they were phenomenal. So Public Enemy played for probably an hour and a half. They did a really long set. And, you know, in between, then Professor Griff was with them again after a long absence. But every now and again, Flavor Flav would bring up some of these women who had been on his show, like they were at the show, and he'd bring them out and introduce them. And the look on Chuck D's face each and every time, he was just like, all right.
I'm just going
to
deal with this.
He's going to have to. That's, I'm just going to
suck this up.
Like, yeah. He was visibly torn between supporting, you know, his partner in crime for so many years, and he's clearly not a fan of Flavor of Love at all. And I really felt bad for him.
I used to not be able to trust it, but can I trust it enough for love?
Thank you, Jeffrey Berner. Jeffrey G. Berner, comedian. So yeah, that Public Enemy, that was a great show. And and that was one of those shows too where there was a terrible crowd, just full of kind of looky-loos. A lot of people wanted to see Flavor Flav because of that show. And yeah, I remember as I got there, I was with my friend Kevin Oberbauer, and we got...
Shout out to Kevin Oberbauer.
Oberbauer.
I like saying his last name.
Kevin I would Obama. Too.
Kevin.
So me and Oberbauer are there. I go out for a smoke before Public Enemy is about to go on. We get down to the stage area, and there's already like three rows back of people. So I'm like, that's fine. I'll stand right here. Eventually the crowd will part enough to where I can get up front. And this young lady started talking to the both of us, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll talk to a cute chick. But then it was clear that she just kind of wanted to sweet talk her way past me.
Yeah.
So she like puts her hand on my shoulder at one point, like, you know, excuse me. And I just go, my arms folded. I go, yeah, no, it's fine. And I didn't move. And she's like, if I could, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And she was, she got like huffed off in a, you know, she stormed off, and I was like, look, I mean, she was really cute and all, but I'm like, lady, I've been waiting for this since I was 13. I'm not going to just let you blink your eyelashes at me, bat them at me rather. And then,
what do you think would have happened?
You're a strong man.
I might have, yeah.
She would have walked right past
you. Oh, absolutely. Had I not been standing in such a prime position. And then it still took a lot, and there was a lot of college girls like that. I had a couple drinks spilled on me, but I was like, I am not moving from this spot. And eventually, because after 45 minutes, a lot of that element of the crowd was like, all right, I'm going home. Yeah, I can't take any. So by the end of the show, I was right up front. It was me and this other guy about my age, I want to say. I was like 28 or so. And we were both singing along the whole time and just like, yeah, dude, we're fucking here. Like, it was a very in-the-moment type. One of those few like concert moments that I certainly haven't had since I was, you know, first started going to shows and stuff like that. So yeah, it was great. I really like Public Enemy.
All right.
That's the moral of that story.
All right.
Jesus.
And then I don't know. I don't really know if I have. I mean, there's so many other bands that I hold in such high regard.
I think is there
a genre of music that you just don't
at
like
all?
You you're not interested? Like, no, no.
I don't
else.
Think so. I think that there's...
Any singer-songwriter, indie, rock, any of that?
You fuck with country?
I don't fuck with country a lot. I like the Johnny Cash, which is kind of standard. My dear friend Leisha is very big into...
Leisha Keys?
Yes, Leisha Keys.
He plays her. He plays multiple
of her. I play multiple of Leisha Keys.
She's so adorable.
Her... My friend Leisha's very big into country, like the, you know, the deep cut, like not the country pop that we kind of known it for the last 20 years. And my friend Benjamin Whitmer is a writer, and he wrote a biography of the Louvin Brothers, who were a country / gospel act of the 50s into the 60s. And that was a really good book. It's called Satan Is Real. It's an excellent book. So, like, I'll listen to what they have to show me. Leisha bought me a movie called Heartworn Highways, which is like a documentary from the late 70s about country music. And it has guys like Townes Van Zandt and David Cole and other acts, like more real country type stuff, which I like, but I don't pursue all that much. So yeah, I don't think you could find a genre that I couldn't find something I like about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I generally avoid, well, actually, I used to avoid almost anything on the radio, but since I started going to Zumba class.
What?
I hear a lot more of that stuff.
All right, so.
And some of it I like, I don't know.
So,
can we get a demonstration of Zumba right now?
No, wait, so.
Absolutely.
I'll play a rhythm.
Listeners.
Don't you want to Zumba? Don't you?
Zumba.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's like salsa dancing, but aerobic.
Mm-hmm. I joined a gym in March, and because I was just, it was when the Dissimilars we were practicing for this reunion show in July, and just from practicing, I was getting winded. And I'm pretty active on stage when I play with a band, so I was like, I need to get, you laugh now, Matt Lockwood. You can ask Ryan Hicks, he came and saw us play.
You move, you move around.
Oh,
you
I'm very active, yeah, playing live. It's quite the opposite of how I tell jokes. Like, you know, it's the opposite end of that spectrum.
I hate to interrupt you, but that's funny. Like, what are the similarities and differences between Jimmy as the musician on stage and Jimmy as the comedian?
Well, like I'm saying, when I'm telling jokes, I stand still and I just kind of you know, intentionally
really, like,
pretty
deliberate,
monotone.
Really,
yeah,
okay.
Deliberate. But band-wise, like in the Dissimilars and in Slap City, I would often play in my underpants and our
various
outfits.
Are we talking tighties?
I used to wear tighty whities. I'm over the boxer briefs now.
Really?
But, yeah.
Not a fan?
Well, I wore tighty whities for the Dissimilars reunion show along with my Wolverine outfit that I have.
Right,
mask and claws.
That's a hit.
Which I actually do have now incorporated somewhat into the joke telling, but that's like it's a different shtick. But as far as similarities go, like doing bands for as long as I have really helped performance anxiety. Like I wasn't.
Do you still get the same feeling?
I get more. I don't get nervous. I get anxious. Like I want to get up and do it.
With comedy or with music?
I think with both. I think I get.
You're not nervous about getting up there. You're just like.
Over. I'm really excited.
I
really look forward to it. So that's I do get nervous every now and again. I'm a little nervous for tonight, but for telling jokes tonight, and so much so that Shane can't even drink his Coke.
It happens. Where are you telling jokes tonight?
I'm featuring at Winston's tonight, Shane.
Really? You know, where is that?
Where is
Winston's?
That's in Ocean Beach, California.
California?
Bacon Street, that I can't remember the
California.
You're
featuring.
1921 Bacon Street. I am.
Wow. Bacon Street? That's a rough place to get a set in, because I actually...
you featured there not too long ago yourself.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, and I was bummed to miss it.
You
I had to go
it.
To band practice, oddly enough.
It's all right. I saw you in the parking lot.
I did.
That was
a
show.
It's okay. Shane misses shows, too, a lot.
Even when I'm there.
It happens. So, yeah.
Do you get the same feeling, though? Like, do you get the same feeling before, like, a band, like, with music, or?
I think with the band stuff, it's a little more, keen. It's a little more, you know, I feel it a little bit more.
What do you feel? What do you mean?
Like I was saying, I just want to get up and do it. Like, I'm ready to go, and, so, yeah, it just kind of makes me... I think that's, like, as anxious as I get. I'm never nervous about performing. I mean, obviously, you have bad shows sometimes, but going in, I'm usually just really excited to do it. And especially if we're playing with bands that we really like or bands that are friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's always an added bonus. So, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I was always curious about that. I mean, I used to... dabble in. Like, I was a band nerd, basically. Yeah. I don't think there's any comparison, really. Like high school, then college, and during college, post-college, I was in bands. I was a drummer, though, so drummers were in the back.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, for me, that's like, I'm not center stage. You have to really look to fucking see me back there. So it never really bugged me at all. That's I never got stage fright to perform playing music. There was like a more confident side. But with the jokes, with stand-up, it's just like,
this is me. Well, for a long time, because I've been wanting to do stand-up for a very long time, since I was in sixth grade even. And that was something that kept me from it, was that I would be up there all by myself. Like with a band,
there's other people.
Yeah, there's other people sharing the possible humiliation. And even in... Very briefly, in 2003, I was in a sketch comedy troupe, so there was three of us, and that felt like I was more comfortable with that, too.
Because at least there was someone else to absorb.
Right, exactly.
Well, what do you... Let me ask you this. Uh-huh. Is there anything in particular that you listen to psych yourself up, or, like, if you know, like, with stand-up?
Yeah, no. No, not really.
Nothing?
No. No, I mean, I just kind of...
You know, one of those guys that gets yourself in the zone or anything?
Not really. No.
Because I know Hicks, I've walked up on him several times.
Yeah, Ryan always has
show, and he's always got some music blasting, like, fucking, I never talked to Will F. You Pay Me, but before he fucking, because he's scary.
He is.
Like, I know he might be scared of you guys, but he's also scary to me, but.
It's a casual they Caucasian always, name, like, Will F. You Pay Me.
Will F. You Pay Me. He can hurt any, a fly, you know.
No,
but,
he's harmless.
So there's not, what about with music? Was there anything... What did you do? What
I remember very clearly, like, the very first band I was in was called the Racket Girls, and I went to go pick up...
Were there any girls in the band?
No. Well, actually, no, there was. There was our drummer, Heather.
Was she good?
She wasn't that... Yeah, she was.
Wasn't there another girl named Jimmy Calloway?
Hey.
Oh! Hey.
Hi-yo. You got me, Burner.
Wordplay, man.
I've been Burnered.
in Jeff.
I remember going to pick up Matt, who I mentioned before, my friend Matt Swain, he was our bass player. And I went to pick him up, and I can't remember what I was playing on the stereo, but he was like, come on, let's listen to something more, you know, inspiring or whatever, which was really just his way of saying, let me run the tape deck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think, and I remember thinking of that, I'm like, that's dumb. Like, I don't need to be psyched up. I was like, just kind of naturally, and I think it's the same for joke telling. I'm already kind of,
you're ready. You're just anxious. You're ready to get up there and do your thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but there's definitely, I mean, I definitely get that music can be helpful in that regard. I just never found it that way. Music is almost, at this point, I think for me, become a very important, but it's still a very, not secondary. Like, if my car stereo is broken or something, that's when I notice the absence of music.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just having it around, that's just like a standard. That's just like wearing shoes when I leave the house.
Right.
So it's not something that I need a double dose of, I think, at any point.
What have you noticed differently as far as the way you approached, like you've contributed as far as songwriting and composition with music. What do you notice differently between that aspect and the comedy and the jokes and piecing together and seeing what works and what doesn't work? You know what I mean? Is there a lot of similarities?
I think there are. Yeah, there is a lot of parallels. Like, you know, especially because I do just pretty much just one-liners. So attention to detail and stuff like that, as Matt Lockwood will be happy to tell you, is...
Yes.
It's even more important. It seems even more important because you only have so many words to get the joke right. So you have to be really conscious of your word choice. And I think it's the same thing with putting a song together. You know, every note counts, or make every note count. Especially if you're playing the kind of punk rock and stuff that I tend to prefer. It's also very stripped down, like, you know, a one-liner set would be. So that same attention to detail is necessary. But
Is the gratification equal as far as, like...
I would say so. Yeah? I would say, well, I think because doing comedy is newer for me than doing a band, so there might be a little... I might be a little more... thrilled when I get off stage after telling jokes, because that, you know, with band stuff at this point, it's, you know, almost standard something that I do. But yeah, I'd say it's about the same. Yeah.
Do you think you would ever be able to pull off guys like there's a lot of comedians who are also like pretty accomplished musicians in their own respect.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever fantasize or see yourself being able to pull off something like that?
Not particularly, but it's...
Better yet, let me phrase this question. How do you feel as far as, like, the audience perception goes? Them accepting you in one light, you, Jimmy the Worm.
Yeah.
And then turning right around and seeing Jimmy the Calloway.
Right.
Doing one... Do you think your fan base would divide and there would be two totally different types of fan base? Or do you think that the fans would carry over and like, hey, I've seen him on stage and his energy and the way he performs with the music.
Right.
Do you think they would be as receptive to your comedy?
I think so. I think, well, we'll find out tonight, I think, because this is the first show. This is kind of why I'm a little bit nervous about tonight, because tonight will be the first time that I've really told any of my friends outside of comedy that I'm even doing this.
Don't be. Don't
so,
be. Cause you know why? Look at me.
I'm looking at you, Shane.
Because you're funny.
Oh, Shane.
You're talented.
Thank you, Shane.
You wear glasses.
I do.
We both have Chuck Taylors.
We certainly do.
You shouldn't be.
No,
nervous.
I think it's just.
But I understand.
Yeah,
I understand
it's
if
just
you are. You
butterflies
know?
A little bit. But, I mean, as far as fan bases go, which is a weird word for me to even
say
out loud.
Yeah, you can say fan base.
Well, I think tonight will be kind of. I think a lot of my friends. And a lot of my friends are. I've made through the music scene. So I think a lot of them are really interested in seeing me tell jokes now, too. Do you know
They've
what I mean?
Never seen you?
Very few of them have. My friend Hattie, who I've mentioned a few times, he saw me at the Ken one time, as did my friend Chuck, who's been my best friend since high school. And
has there been
and
a bit
I
of a reluctance to share with people that this is what you do now?
Yeah, completely. I mean, because I'm so brand new to it. You know,
yeah, you don't want people to see you when you're
right.
like figuring it out.
Yeah, yeah. So when I'm at this state of, you know, as raw as I still am, I feel more, especially with a set like that I'm going to do, more polished. But it's just like with a band, like with bands, especially when I was younger, it was an excuse for a lot of my friends to hang out. Like, oh, we'll just go hang out at band practice. And I was like, fuck off. We're trying to do something here.
Yeah.
I didn't want people seeing us practice or listening to us practice because it wasn't ready to be heard yet. And it's sort of the same thing with doing all these open mics is it's like band practice.
Yeah.
And so I don't really want a ton of people that I know anyway, to see me.
Yeah.
Until this shit's ready. So hopefully it'll be ready tonight. I think it will be.
I think you will be.
Thank you, Shane.
I think you will be ready.
Thank you very much.
We'll see. When's the next? I'm sorry. What's the name of the band again?
The Stallions of Sound. We're playing on.
Stallions
I'm not,
of Sound.
When this is coming out when?
Oh, soon? This will drop soon.
About a week.
We're playing on December.
In Shane's terms, that means about 2 months.
December 5th at the Whistle Stop.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good place.
And place. And then we have a few more shows lined up in. I think we're playing December 29th, but I can't remember where. And then we have a couple other shows in early January lined up as well. But since I'm not in charge of any of that stuff, it's harder for me.
Right, right.
Look it up on Facebook.
Yeah, if you look it up on Facebook.
Facebook.com/
Let's plug.
Stallions of Sound. I believe it's just stallionsofsound.com.
It's
the fan page, right? Or
the
actual page.
It's an actual webpage, yeah, that Hattie, and I think Hattie's brother, Jad, run and update and stuff like that. And we do have an album forthcoming in February, our first full-length will be available through Slovenly Records, which we're very excited about because they put out The Spits. They put out a couple Slab City singles. And so then we hope to tour on that record
What's
next
the tour
spring.
Looking like?
We have nothing booked yet, but we're probably going to hit the West Coast as we often do and maybe try to branch out more into Nevada and Utah and Idaho.
Slight east.
Right, yeah, because I mean, none of us are really able to just pick up and leave town.
Yeah,
sadly. And then Pete from Slovenly is also he wants us to go to Europe, which we'd all be thrilled to do. But
it's a little bit of ways away.
That would be a logistics thing. But I mean, Dave and I don't even have passports, so
they're overrated.
We'd have to get that
passports
taken care
are
of.
Way overrated.
So yeah, that'll be great. And that record's called Tank Tracks. We just finally got the cover art. Our friend Nate, who used to play drums for the Dissimilars, he's a graphic designer, and so he did the cover art for us, and it looks really fucking good. The songs themselves have been available on Bandcamp for about a year, and we would sell CDRs at shows and stuff like that. But this is like an official release, And we also, like in September, we didn't play any shows. We just recorded another album's worth of stuff. And that'll be called Biology Museum.
What's the feel of the album? What would you describe it as?
It's very, like, it's very stripped down punk, but it has this, you know, technical industrial feel
mm-hmm.
with the drum machines. And Hattie's got very, you know, tends to have like kind of screamier vocals, but not overly so, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So we're huge fans of a band called Digital Leather, who are now based out of Nebraska, I believe, but they're originally from Arizona.
Big punk scene, Nebraska.
Yeah, that was a weird choice. Scene. Well, as to my understanding, Sean Foree is the main guy in Digital Leather, who, as far as I know, pretty much records everything himself. Like he plays all the instruments. But then he met some guys that he wanted to play, and he would have different guys play with him live. My friend Ryan Rousseau would play with him sometimes. My friend Isaac from Shark Pants would also play with him.
Shark Pants?
Yeah, they're a really good band. And then I think Sean met some guys out in Nebraska that he just liked, because he would tour around a lot too, so I think he just moved out there to play with this band, and now they're Digital Leather. And they're really, really good. They have... they're very much in the same vein, like more synths type stuff. Although the last couple of records have been a little more guitar driven than you would expect. But,
yeah.
But yeah, we're heavily influenced by them. So I feel like if you like Digital Leather at all, you'll probably also like us.
I will like you guys.
Okay. Consider it done.
Usually to close out the show, we'll ask you some new bands you recommend.
Okay.
Try to get ahead of the curve.
Uh-huh.
Your little claim to fame. Obviously, Stalins of Sound would be one.
Right.
Digital Leather might be one.
Digital Leather's definitely
Shark
one.
Shark Pants might be one.
Yeah, Shark Pants. I mean, these are all bands that have been around for a little bit. I'm not entirely up on...
Or maybe just less well-known shit, even.
Right, yeah.
Anybody else you'd like to quick plug?
Yeah, the Blood Types out of Portland, who I mentioned before, super good. They just have a new 7-inch out called Johnny that's really, really good. Who else? There's a local band called Alpha Channel who don't play out very often, but we played with them at this Blood Type show as well. They're very much in like a Manor Astroman sort of vein, and they're also really super good. Who else? There's a lot of bands.
Any like non-punk bands?
No.
That are on your radar? Not at all?
Not lately. I mean, there was Mike Stacks, who's kind of a local legend in the scene, plays in a band called The Loons, I believe, and he's done a lot of, and it's like a 60s garage type band, and he does a lot of, him and his wife both do, they're very active with that sort of thing, and Mike Sachs is pretty well regarded in the garage scene. He wrote the liner notes for the Nuggets box sets, and he used to do, or I think he still does, a magazine called Ugly Things, which is all about
you.
60s stuff. so yeah, I would definitely look at anything Mike Stacks has his hand in.
My pants.
Matt's pants, for example. There's some of our like kind of sister bands, the Who's He What's It's out of San Francisco, California, out of Oakland now, actually. Are dear friends of ours, going back to when they were in the Double D's, and we used to play with the Dissimilars a lot. My friend Max Trashy, who's originally from here, but he lives in Oakland now. He was in a band called the Trashies, which was nice for his name to match up with the band finally.
Where are the Elves?
And he's now, he was recently, most recently, a band called Uzi Rash, which just recently split up, I think for good, or it seems. But Max is always doing something, but we always make sure to play with whatever band he's doing. And any of the guys in the Trashies, like Eric is in Taco Cat currently, and they're really fucking good as well. The Monarchies are also out of Seattle, are really cool guys. We played with them up there. And, you know, we'll play with them down here. So, yeah, any of those bands definitely would be well worth your while checking out.
All right.
Well, thanks for tuning in to If I'm Loud or I'm Right.
I've been
Shane.
Jimmy Calloway.
I'm Jeffrey Berner. And as always...
Shane, do you have anything
Shane's
you
in the
would
can.
You would like to, now that you're done with your pee-pee...
That would be.
Do you have any new shit you'd like to mention that has come out recently?
I'm out of my...
What do you mean?
Just, you know, any...
No, I'm just...
What have you...
I'm stoked on Calloway coming through and sitting down and talking...
Yeah, it was fucking...
Tunes.
It was great.
Fuck. We... Man.
Covered a lot of ground in 90 minutes.
East County, NWA...
Man.
Not a fan of Green Day. Metallica didn't really stick.
Hates POD.
Hates POD.
Sorry, that's Sonny.
True.
POD.
Say hi to them for me, will you?
Yeah.
I'll send them this one to listen to when they come on our podcast.
You know what? I think the only thing that I want to say is that it was a course in music, in punk education.
Oh.
And
PE 101.
PE 101. Yeah. I dabbled in punk, and I can appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one thing that you've definitely laid out is that there's a lot more that I don't know that I thought I knew about punk.
Well, I'm glad to bring your ignorance to light, Shane.
Yeah, man. It's only going to happen once every blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that if anybody's still listening at 1 hour and 27 minutes, I hope that you would see that Mr. Calloway here is more than just a funny one-liner. And he's more than just a polished set.
Not much more than that, but sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's more than just a Kumite winner.
Champion.
Champion.
Excuse me. My fellow champion, Shane Brennan here.
You know, we can't all be champions.
That's not right. We can't all be.
We can't all be
a
champions.
A couple of us, but not all of us.
A few of us. But yeah, it's...
I'm not allowed in, Ken. Fuck you guys.
It's been really cool. Thanks for...
Oh, and I'd also like to plug Jeffrey's podcast.
Yeah, let's...
With his more handsome co-host, Jimmy Calloway. It's called If I'm Louder, I'm Right. And it's available on iTunes and the Podomatic Network. Isn't that right, Jeffrey Berner?
No, but what is available on the Podomatic Network is the podcast If I'm Louder, I'm Right, featuring Jimmy Calloway and his far more handsome co-host, Jeffrey Berner,
mm-hmm.
who is clearly more handsome.
Yeah, so you should also check that out if you have
a Twitter. Do you guys have a Twitter handle?
Twitter?
Anything like that?
At Louder and Right, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
At Louder.
Do you guys have guests on the show? Or
no, never.
Okay.
We have a moderator.
We have a moderator.
And he is there to stay.
We're kind of in, well, actually, we're kind of in between moderators.
Who's your current moderator?
We don't have one right now.
We're a little in between.
We're kind of in between moderators right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, thanks again for having me, fellows.
This has been awesome.
Thank you for coming.
Good luck with your set tonight. I know you're going to fucking kill it.
Thanks, Shane.
It's going to be awesome. Winston's. Ocean Beach, California.
If you're listening live, get down there. I'll be about a half hour. I'll
stop
be
what you're doing right now and get down to Winston's.
I don't think anyone's listening because no one called in.
You're going to... I have my phone on silent.
No,
you're going to want to stop by. Thanks to Jimmy Calloway and Jeffrey Berner for stopping by.